I was born in 1943 in a small village in North Staffordshire, where I lived till I was about 13, when I moved with my parents down to this part of the country. My father had got a job with Sir Hereward Wake as his gardener. And I would bike in from Courtenall to Road railway station and catch the train to go to Wolverton, where I went to their Wolverton Technical College, travelling by train each day. This was a pleasure because I was already interested in railways.
How long did the train journey take from Road, down to
school? About a quarter of an hour.
That's all right, wasn't it?
Yeah. Most of the children, I was the only one from Road, but quite a few got on at Castlethorpe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I left school, I went to work at Pianoforte Supplies in their drawing office under Reg Webster. This was in 1959. And, excuse me, and by 1962, Dad had retired and we came to live in Road. PSL continued to thrive, supplying parts to all the major manufacturers, including many parts for the Classic Mini. From its launch in 1959, right up to the end of production in 2000. So this year is its 60th anniversary. At its peak, Pianoforte in the late 1960s employed over 1,600 people, many from Road, but also with buses coming in from various parts of Northampton and South Northamptonshire. Gradually at first, but then with the competition from Japan and the takeover of British manufacturers by European companies, the total British motor industry began to shrink, and with it, PSL. An unlikely lifeline was given to PSL in the 1990s when work was obtained from Rolls-Royce and Bentley. And then, after Rolls-Royce and Bentley had split, PSL continued supplying Bentley, with work also obtained from supplying Aston Martin. Thus, from being a supplier to the mass market, PSL was now supplying the creme de creme of the British motor industry. After 49 years at PSL, basically in the engineering department, I took voluntary redundancy due to health reasons.
Did you miss your work when you stopped? Did you miss the camaraderie?
I did, because living here, you still saw people going to work. Yeah. And of course, you recognised the cars.
Yeah.
And you thought, yeah. But as I say, I just had the second of my heart operation, so
yeah,
it was more or less forced upon me.
Yeah.
There was a redundancy situation, so yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Did you actually work on parts for the Aston Martins, or did you do the drawings for the parts?
No, I was more involved with the... we would get the part as designed by Aston Martin, and then we had to design all the machine tools to produce that part. But I was more involved with the materials, making sure we got the right grade steel or the right grade plastic, whatever. And I was more involved on the material side than but it was good how it developed, and
Yeah.
You know,
it's still a long time to put in, isn't it? 49 yeah. years. That was a long, you know, long haul.
Mm. Did you get your gold watch?
Or did you I've got a gold watch at 25 years, but I didn't get me 50.
No.
Unfortunately.
49.
I had to, yeah.
Mm.
But yes, it was.
Yeah.
They were, you know, I say, and then we got the social side of it. I didn't go to the dances, but there were dances. And then we started a pianoforte cricket club, which...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long was you with the cricket club, involved with the cricket
what,
club?
What, with Road?
Mm.
With Road, probably about 10 years.
Mm.
And then when I started what I call my interest in rallying and also visiting preserved railways,
yeah.
doing that at weekend meant I couldn't be with Road, so
yeah.
I packed up.
Yeah.
But about 10 years, and I'd say, scorer, secretary, umpire,
yeah.
you know. Yeah.
Mm. And you didn't have anything to do with the football club?
No.
No.
Because I was a cobbler supporter, obviously, weekends and night matches,
yeah.
You know, I just couldn't fit Road Football Club in. No.
Supporting the cobblers is a bit of an up and down roller coaster.
It was a roller coaster, but of course, when we first started supporting the cobblers in 1960, was their start of their climb up, and 1965-66, they did have their one big season in the first division.
That's right. Yeah. Did you go to see Georgie Best?
Yes. Yes, but he scored 6 goals. Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Because there was quite a bit in the letters in when we used to have a proper evening newspaper.
Yeah.
There was quite a bit in there about, you know, people saying, oh, for that match, it was all pay, even if you got a season ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the prices up, and there was letters in, all, you know, cobblers are cashing in on it. And I remember someone said that, you know, about George Best and that. And anyway, I wrote in after, and I said something along the lines, that was the supreme performance. Now, perhaps the rep will try and get Sir Laurence Olivier. But yes, I saw George. Well, I saw him both in the famous cup match. But of course, when we're in the first division, he played down here in the first division game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put Northampton on the map then.
Yes. So Brenda's got a key up, phone upstairs.
That's all right. So then you started doing, you said you went to the cobblers with your friend.
Yeah.
And then you started rallying. So yeah. How did you start rallying then?
There was, I'm not sure if it's still going, a car club in Northampton called Northampton and District Car Club. Mm. Now join them, and of course that it was affiliated to the RAC. So of course I joined them and did their small club rallies, and then this person who was an established navigator said, look, he's looking for a driver and a car, would I be prepared to do rallying? And of course, they want to stay all night. They was Saturday night. We'd start about 10 o'clock at night and finish about 5 o'clock in the morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And as I say, during the late 60s and early 70s, when I did this, at that time of night, there was nothing on the road.
What sort of car did you drive?
Well, by one, I really would have loved a Mini Cooper, which was the really quick one. But by the time I could afford one, they'd stopped building the Mini Cooper, and they did what they call the Mini 1275 GT, which was a quick car, but it hadn't got the sort of name Mini Cooper, but it was a very good car. No, it was a Mini.
Yeah. So you just drove ordinary production cars. You didn't have a special, you know, build a special car.
Well, the only thing is, the once we'd got through the various, you go through the various, what should I say, the various grades, you start off as a novice. I think we got enough points after the first winter to go into what's called semi-expert, and then it's the expert. But the experts, almost all the top cars were garage maintained, garage sponsored, and would only be used for rallying. They'd have a roll cage in, which is steel tubes, you know, in case they go over. I never did go over. I went in the ditch once or twice, but... And, yes, it... and I finally decided that we had two or three years, and I said, well, you know... And by then, I started seeing Brenda, and I decided rallying was probably not quite the thing when you get married.
No, it's a waste of money.
It's too costly, a waste of money, and it takes you out all night. Mm. So, yeah.
So what year was that,
Robin? We got married in 1975.
Oh, okay.
We were both, well... I was 32 and Brenda was 30. We met, or going to come to that later on, but obviously we met through both being on the church council.
Did you get married in the Methodist church?
No, down in the St Mary's. Again, I've got a bit.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got as far as your redundancy, and then you're
finishing
work.
Yeah.
PSL.
Well, then I sort of go back to when I joined Road Cricket Club and Canfor Cricket. The rallying. And then I go on to the village. How I think the village has changed.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, that'd be good.
Yeah.
How much more do you want to do?
No, you just keep going.
On the village.
Yeah.
The village and its people has changed remarkably in the time I've lived here. When I arrived in 1962, most men and quite a number of women in the village would be working at Pianofort Supplies. Although there were some men travelling by train to Wolverton Railway Works. There were, the pubs were the Cock, which is still surviving, the White Hart, which then became the Roadhouse, the George at the top of the High Street, A508 Junction, and the British Legion. The British Legion was then a wooden hut on the opposite side of the footpath on the west boundary of the church. There was also the football club, cricket club, and the bowls club, which was then known as PSL Bowls Club. The bungalows opposite the cricket field were built in the early mid 1960s, then Manor Close, and plus any spare ground was used to build one or two new houses. The next major development was the old factory site in Croft Lane, and Croft Lane Estate was built. And then more recently, brownfield sites following the demise of Walker Pack and Chaplin's were built on. And then came news of the closure of Pianoforte and the massive job of first extracting all the machinery, including the large presses, and the removal of the steelwork and bricks following the demolition of the buildings. Finally, the delivery of all the building materials, etc., to build over 200 houses. Road has certainly changed over the 50 plus years I've lived here.
Do you think it's a change for the better?
I think it's a change that was never going to be stopped.
No.
Possibly the old, shall I say, close-knit village societies, like the, I mean, I mentioned what I knew, but I mean, obviously there's WI and other things. The close-knit part of the village, I don't think could have carried on as it was. I know it's, you know, over the years, things evolve, and I don't think it's...
Change has to come.
Yes. Yeah. And then I'll finish off by saying, however, one thing has remained constant, and that's through my faith, my regular attendance at St Mary's Church, including the autumn day in October 1975, when I married Brenda, bracket Sturgis. Now, obviously, Brenda will go more into the church, but I have, during my time at St Mary's, had the privilege and pleasure of serving St Mary's in various offices and duties. However, even the church, not the building, but the church, has seen changes. Because when I first attended in 1962, Canon Norman Husband had just St Mary's and the parish of Road to care for, with funerals, weddings, baptisms. But now, in April 2019, the Reverend Mike Burton has five parishes, Road, Ashton, Hartwell, Cortnall and Collentry, to care for. And I finish up, well, the only thing constant is change will always happen.
Yeah, that's right.
The only thing I was trying to do when you come, Brenda said, you ought to say something about this house, because this room and what we call the front room, although it looks like a bungalow, well, it is a bungalow because it hasn't got an upstairs, was originally built in 1900 as offices for a company called Tommy Roddis, who then had all the land from here right down to the Bowls Club boundary. And they had, in those days, you had what was called agricultural contractors who had traction engines, thrashing machines, ploughs.
I think someone else told us that he was one of the first men to have a car in the village.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
Well, I would say my father-in-law always said the first person he remembers driving a car was old Dr. Ryan. And Tommy Roddis was, shall we say, the first
ordinary
person. Now, my father-in-law always said the first person he saw driving a car in Road was Dr. Ryan.
So was your father-in-law one of the Sturgises?
It's very, as Brenda will tell you, it's a little bit complicated because there are two distinct family Sturgises. Brenda's Sturgis family originate from Cortnall, whereas there was also a Sturgis who owned the quarry
Yeah.
And that is a different... Yeah. I mean, but I say different.
Yeah.
Brenda's sister's doing a family tree. As yet, she hasn't found a connection.
Yeah.
But probably somewhere along the line, there will be a connection.
Yeah. Hmm. So when did you actually move into this house?
I moved in here in 19... That... I'm sorry, I should have done this sooner, but... I moved in here in 1972, and it was, that was the bedroom, there was this room, and then there was a wooden lap board, kitchen and bathroom, and there was an elderly gentleman. Well, first of all, when we first moved next door, there was a family tasker lived in here, an elderly couple. They both died, and then an elderly gentleman come here, a chap called, I think his name was Tom Harding, and he was taken ill, went in hospital and he died, and about few days later, his son arrived from New Zealand. And obviously they had the funeral and everything. Anyway, the son came around to see me. I mean, he visited his dad, so I knew him vaguely. And he said, hey, he said, I mean, 1972, I was, what, nearly 30? Yeah, 43, yeah. 29. He said, look, he said, would I like to buy the property? I said, well, what sort of price? And he named a ridiculous price, low, and he said, all I want to do is sell it while I'm here, so when I go back to New Zealand, I haven't got to come back again. So, had a word with the bank, and yes, I could do it. And said yes, so did everything through the solicitors, but obviously cut out estate agents.
Yeah.
And then I thought he was going to be here for 2 or 3 weeks. He come round to us, he said, right, there's the key. He said, tomorrow I'm going down to Heathrow or Gatwick, wherever, to fly back to New Zealand. So I came over, and all the furniture was in and everything. And
bachelor pad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of it we kept, some of it we got rid of. Some of the older furniture did sell, but and then moved. I moved in here, and of course it was ideal when I was rallying, because I'd get home at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I could just go straight to Ben.
Yeah, that's it.
Kip, and that was it. And so, then it got to Brenda and myself decided to get married, and of course. We got a ready-made place. And after about 3 or 4 years, we looked around in Road and said, well, what if we pull the old kitchen lap board down and have a dormer with 2 bedrooms?
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And so I say, the only place Brenda's lived is either the Leys or
here.
Here.
Mm. So were these houses ever associated with the church next door, or were they built by them? Or?
No, if you look at that end on the gable up near the where the roof pitch is, there's a stone plaque in the wall, TR 1900.
Yeah.
So this was built in 1900.
So the TR is Otis. Tommy Roddice.
Tommy Roddice, yeah. Whereas when you look outside, just down to the left of the door going into the chapel,
yeah,
they're sort of...
it's a stone there.
The stone, and that's 1907.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this was just built as two offices.
Yes.
Yeah.
For Tommy Roddice, there was never any connection with the chapel.
That's really good.
Yeah. Would you like a cup of tea?